We are an ever-evolving community of visionaries, dreamers, and doers who have been called by God to live the lives we were created to live, commanded by God to love beyond the limits of our prejudices, and commissioned by God to serve. And if you can't remember all of that, live. Amen, amen. So today we'll be reading from James 5, 16 through 18 from the Message Bible. James 5, 16 through 18 from the Message Bible. And it reads, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. Now I want to hold this scripture in tension with one of my favorite poets, a prose from Hafiz. And it reads, pulling out the chair beneath your mind and watching you fall upon God, there is nothing else for Hafiz to do that is any fun in this world. I'll read it again. Pulling out the chair beneath your mind and watching you fall upon God, there is nothing else for Hafiz to do that is any fun in this world. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this moment, a moment we will never see again. So we capitalize on this now experience, God. I thank you for using everything that you have created me to be for this moment and for the transformation, the healing, and the wholeness that we will be called into because of this moment. We thank you for this moment. In the name of all that is healing and whole, we pray. Amen. Amen. It is not a surprise that Spirit gave me a simple word on this morning to be in alignment with our theme for simplifying our lives. Today I want to talk about our lives as prayer. Our lives as prayer. Growing up, prayer was verbal solicitations to a God who cared. It was the pitch of my grandmother's moans and cries in the key of gratitude, all accompanied by a connecting laying on of hands. I grew up Church of God, so that's how we did it, symbolizing a greed transformation. I remember being between the ages of 6 and 7 years old and going to Bible studies and prayer services in the homes of the saints with my maternal grandmother, affectionately known as Granny. After study concluded, there was always time set aside for prayer requests and prayer. I remember multiple times my grandmother directing the elders present to anoint me with oil. They would anoint my hands as I played the piano, and they would anoint my forehead. They would then begin to speak words of protection over my tiny body as if to consecrate it and give it back to the one who sends us all to this side of living. Being a student of their prayers taught me how to approach the divine in humbled expectancy and to always befriend the knowingness that prayer was the catalyst for transformation. In this current moment of my evolutionary journey, I have come to understand prayer as our lives in their entirety. I have learned a praying life, whether consciously or subconsciously, is always in constant appraisal of the alignment of our thoughts, our language, and our actions. This constant appraisal occurs in the initiatory moments of our lives that at times bring our greatest perceived tragedies while simultaneously offering our deepest transformations. I was taught prayer was audible communication with God, occurring in a singular verbal utterance. Anyone who matriculated through the hard knocks of a traditional church was modeled a particular cadence tied to a particular vocabulary that measured effectual prayer. Many who come to church without the blemish of religious dogma may ask the question, well, how do I pray? My answer, beloved, is you pray through every step forward, in every tear dropped, in every victory celebrated, in every failure embraced, in every heart ache. In living a little longer and acquiring some wisdom, I have come to know prayer is my life, your life, in its entirety. For prayer is indeed the journey we take to align our thoughts, our language, and our actions. Our thoughts, language, and actions is much of what life is made of, really. Proverbs 23:7 attests, "For as a person thinketh in their heart, so are they." This is thought. Genesis 1:3 offers that God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. This is language. While James 2:18 states, "But someone will say, show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith." This is action. These outlying scriptures inform us that prayer is the journey of aligning our thoughts, language, and actions. Prayer, life, isn't something you're supposed to have all together in the right words or right phrasing or right steps. In essence, your prayer, your life, is always becoming. The challenge of prayer in your life is that it no longer becomes about mere words. It is now connected to how you treat yourself primarily and then others. For others receive the overflow of how we treat ourselves. Isn't that ironic that you are measured by how you treat others, by how you treat yourself? So that's something to think about. What is your prayer looking like today? What is your life saying? It is a grave misfortune our Western world does not cultivate intentionality around ritual and becoming, as Eastern cultures make time for. Maladoma Somme, a West African shaman, one of my favorite thinkers, shares, and I quote, "Everyone is born with a purpose. This purpose must be known in order to ensure an integrated way of living. People ignorant of their purpose are like ships adrift in a hostile sea. As a result, tribal practices emphasize the discovery before birth of the business of the soul that has come into the world," end quote. Despite our lack of tribal practices in the Western world, we are extended an invitation of initiation into our next level of living through the valleys and occasionally the triumphs of our lives. These initiations are tied to learning the lesson, the discomfort, and at times even the joy has come to teach us, and accepting the invitation to grow. The presence of hardship or an experience of trauma is not to your detriment. However, it is to your development. The challenge of our prayers, our lives, is that we often forego growing and settle for the comfort and the familiarity of dysfunction. What is your prayer looking like today? What is your life saying? I share the same sentiment as Maladoma. I believe we have each agreed to fulfill a purpose before we exited the wombs of our mothers and came to this side. In entering into this world of plenty disguised as lack and limitation, our purposes are often buried underneath societal and familial expectations, environmental pressures, and generational trauma. Consequently, it is of the utmost importance that we give ourselves grace and mercy as we live as a prayer and journey to align our thoughts, language, and actions. It is an evolutionary process, and it takes time. The letter of James gives us some insight in how to consistently keep our prayers, our thoughts, our language, and actions in alignment. Scholars believe this letter was written to the 12 tribes of Judah to signify their obligation to Israel and to encourage their return from spiritual drifting. The writer of this letter often emphasizes the benevolence and righteousness of God and God's inability to reconcile with the self-seeking and corrupt ways of the world, especially the oppression of the faithful, poor by the rich and proud. The writer of this text was very condemnatory and encouraged repentance, as she or he believed the end of the age was near. The Greek word metanoia, which is often translated to repentance, literally means to move beyond your mind. James 5:16 extends to us all an invitation to move beyond our limited thinking, beyond our wavering minds, and confess our sins to one another. Yeah. Sin is simply error thinking, or the departure from our divinity and the disbelief in our true essence. Metaphysical teachers believe that as long as humans abide in the conviction that God causes them to suffer, they close their minds against the inflow of God's gifts of health, peace, harmony. It is in the turning around that Jesus speaks of inviting persons to repent, that humanity can remember we are heirs to only the good. Each day we are called to turn around, to move beyond our minds, to move beyond our limited thinking. Imagine if we were intentional every day to ask God, so what limited thinking am I holding? What do I need to release to you so I can have thoughts that are thriving and life-giving? The first step of effectual living, of prayer, is to make confession a common practice. As the writer of James puts, it is something cathartic about the unburdening of one's soul. Yeah. Be clear, I am not speaking of confessing to those who live in the fallacy that they are unscathed by life's interruptions. I'm speaking of those who you feel safe enough to be vulnerable with. I have learned, despite the need for communal confession, there are many of us who have a difficult time making space for each other because we have a difficult time making space for ourselves. It's only due to the complexities of our humanity. Moving beyond our minds and entering into the sacred space of confession involves releasing our own internalized judgments, which always invites others to do the same. The next directive the letter of James offers to support us in having thriving prayers, lives, is to pray for each other so that we can live together whole and healed. This was the spiritual context I found myself in when the elders would lay hands on me. I remember it like it was yesterday. When I was writing, I felt the presence of my grandmother and the old saints in my Church of God Church, Siegel Avenue First Church of God. And I would go into the house, and after we would finish listening to them speak, they would begin to lay hands on each other, and I happened to be in the mix. They joined me when they laid hands on me in a liminal space, this preparatory space awaiting transformation. The Latin word for limen, L-I-M-E-N, means threshold. In psychology, limen or threshold is the point at which a stimulus is of sufficient intensity to begin to produce an effect. My 6-year-old self was just as clear as my 35-year-old self is now that something magical and grounding was taking place. Every time I would see an elder take out the palm oil and open the bottle and stick their finger to get a dab and begin anointing each other and touching and agreeing. To agree to something is to give permission for it to produce the desired effect. Who is your prayer, your life encompassing today? Are they supporting you in producing your desired effect? What is your life, your prayer agreeing to? I challenge you over the next couple of weeks to find one or two people to pray with you on a consistent basis, affirming you as a joint heir to all that is good and standing in agreement with you on your desired effect. You just watch God and the universe conspire to that which you have destined to manifest. Lastly, the letter of James informs us that the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Living right with God has everything to do with Hafiz's prose. I love it. It says, pulling out the chair beneath your mind and watching you fall upon God. To live right with God is to solidify your heart's desire in the alignment of your thoughts, language, and actions, while leaning into the mystery of how spirit will orchestrate it. Pastor, many of us have an idea of what we want. However, our suffering often comes from trying to figure out the how. The divine desires to relieve us from our suffering and take the security blanket of our hows, giving us permission not to have it all figured out. It is the sense of having to control things that tempts us to settle for less than the highest good God has for our lives. I have learned that even what I consider to be good for my life is but a frail comparison to the highest of good God has set aside just for me. I am convinced Elijah was certain of the necessity of alignment when he prayed for the rain to stop. The NRSV version says Elijah prayed fervently. Many would associate Elijah's fervent prayers with the frequent beseeching of God to show up and act. I believe it is the opposite. I believe Elijah was not beseeching God over and over again to hold back the rain. However, was settled in the desired effect, his liminal space where his thoughts, language, and actions were aligned and preparation was happening for transformation. We don't know how long Elijah waited for the rain to stop. We just know it stopped raining for 3.5 years. Elijah could have prayed 3.5 years prior for the rain to stop, and because of his steadfastness and his belief, he manifested his desired effect. How many of us give up on our dreams because they haven't happened in our timing? Every foot forward is a seed planted. Your desired effect may not come when you want it, but I promise you it will always be in divine timing, which is always on time. Ecclesiastes 3:2 reminds us that there is a time to plant and a time to harvest. Many of us give up in the planting season of our lives and disrupt the harvest we would have secured had we been steadfast in our vision. What is your prayer looking like today? Is this a planting or a harvest season for you? In the Universe Today, an online magazine for space and astronomy, senior writer Elizabeth Howell writes, while our ancestors have been around for about 6 million years, contemporary humans only evolved about 200,000 years ago, and civilization as we know it is only about 6,000 years old. This brings me great comfort. It lets me know that human beings as we exist today are still in our stage of infancy, still trying to figure it out. Lifespan development psychology looks at the study of individual development from conception to old age. Its core assumption is that development is not completed at adulthood, but rather extends across an individual's entire life course as lifelong adaptive processes are involved. You may ask, Pastor Kendra, why are you telling me this? I'm sharing this because too often we feel we have to have certain things accomplished on our life list at a specific age, and when we don't, it can have a detrimental impact on how we see ourselves and how we see each other. In looking at our lives as prayer and it being a journey of aligning our thoughts, our language, and actions, we must understand the more we are intentional with living our lives in alignment, the better we become at creating the lives we have been called by God to live. Our lives as prayer means that we are now awakened to the pure potentiality latent inside us all that is ready to be made manifest through our living. It is my hope that in examining your life as prayer today, you will be moved to act in ways that bring you closer to harvesting all the good you are an heir to. What is your life looking like today? Your prayer saying today, the doors of the church are open. Amen. 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 There comes a time in all of our lives where we have to centered down, as Howard Thurman says. We have to quiet our minds and begin to take a self-assessment of the exterior occurrences in our lives that implicate our interior. Right now, I'm asking you to do your own investigation work of your life. You answer the question, what is your prayer looking like today? What is your life saying today? If you are someone who is looking to partner with a church home that will love you into wholeness and healing, we're waiting.